Gospel of our Lord from St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. And it is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid, and then his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. And when it was full, they drew it ashore and sat down and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. He said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. And when Jesus has finished these parables, he left that place. Please be seated. Well, I love children. They're always so full of wonderful ideas and things. I'm sure that your pastors have used the message before, and I like it, and I particularly like it for this reading. Another story. God's kingdom is like a pine nut that a farmer plants. It is quite small as seeds go, but in the course of years it grows into a huge pine tree, and eagles build nests in it. God's kingdom is like yeast that a woman works into dough for dozens of loaves of barley bread and waits while the dough rises. All Jesus did that day was tell stories, one long storytelling afternoon. His storytelling fulfilled the prophecy. I will open my mouth and tell stories. I will bring out into the open things hidden since the world's first day. God's kingdom is like a treasure hidden in a field for years and then accidentally found by a trespasser. The finder is ecstatic. What a find! And proceeds to sell everything he owns to raise money and buy that field. Or God's kingdom is like a jewel merchant on the hunt for excellent pearls. Finding one that is flawless, he immediately sells everything and buys it. Or God's kingdom is like a fish net cast into the sea, catching all kinds of fish. When it is full, it is hauled out onto the beach. The good fish are picked out and put in a tub. Those unfit to eat are thrown away. That's how it will be when the curtain comes down on history. The angels will come and cull the bad fish and throw them into the garbage. There will be a lot of desperate complaining, but it won't do any good. Jesus asked, "Are you starting to get a handle on this?" And they answered, "Yes." He said, "Then you see how every student well trained in God's kingdom is like the owner of a general store who can put his hands on anything you need, old or new, exactly when you need it." Kingdom stories are so interesting to me. For today, I've put out these 3 words, love, hope, and grace. Kingdom stories are about that. The opportunity to share a seed, a gem of God's word. Well, when I had spoke with Pastor Beth on the phone and looked up the gospel lesson for today, I said, oh, the kingdom of heaven is like. And we were having dinner with some friends, and I said, well, what does the kingdom of God mean to you? And they looked kind of blank. So I said, well, let's look at it differently. It begins with the mustard seed story. What does the mustard seed story mean to you? And my friend Signora says, well, you could tell them about me and mustard. And I said, well, yes, I could. They have a some acreage where they've planted evergreen trees. It's, you know, in the tree bank, I guess you call it. I'm not very good with those terms, but they had some yellow plants out there, and she thought they were tansy and that they needed to be picked. So she went out for 3 days in a row. For 2 hours, she was picking these yellow plants, and she came to church on Sunday. She said, "Look at what I've harvested. Look at all this tansy that I've harvested." And my husband and our friend Kathy looked at her, and they looked at each other, and they said, "Signora, we hate to break your heart, but that's not tansy. That's 6 hours worth of mustard." So she had to go back and do 6 hours worth of tansy picking then. But when I think of mustard, I don't think of plants out in the field. I'm not a farmer. I'm a city girl. I think of the old advertisement of where the fellow comes in his Rolls Royce and rolls down his window and says, "Do you have any Grey Poupon?" You know, remember that commercial? So mustard, you know, or there's the row in the grocery store where it's yellow mustard or brown mustard or honey mustard, or so. I just don't necessarily go to fields with mustard in them. And then I thought, well, you know, mustard is something that we all can identify with. It stains really good. But then I was thinking about the yeast. How many of you bake bread from scratch? Wow, that is marvelous. So you know all about yeast. The rest of us just go to the store and pick what? Whole wheat, you know, something that's good for us. And sometimes my grandchildren say, "Grandma, don't you have any good old white bread?" Well, of course, grandmas have to have some white bread for the grandchildren so they can be happy. But, you know, it's kind of like, we don't necessarily relate well to the story of a baker. Perhaps we relate to, there's a little restaurant over here that has great breads and soups and salads. And they advertise at the end of the day, if their product hasn't been sold, the bread products, they give it to charity. I thought, yeah, that's a good place to get bread. And they know all about yeast. And then, you know, the story about the lost item in the field that the trespasser goes by and comes and finds it. And are we sometimes not like that, looking for something good, something great? How many of you watched Antiques Roadshow? What are those people taking their things to Antiques Roadshow for? Is it not the $1 to $10 item that they hope is going to be the national treasure worth millions? Isn't that why they take their stuff there? That's something grand that just happened to come their way? Well, I thought, well, you know, that's really good too. And then I was thinking about the fishing story. And I was thinking about, any of you watched The Deadliest Catch? Yeah, not so many of you. But The Deadliest Catch, they have to bleep out a lot of words. But The Deadliest Catch is obviously male-dominated because it's a very hard-working kind of occupation. And there, too, when they haul up the crab or the fish, they are sorting out that which they can keep and that which has no value. So that, for me, that was that sorting kind of visual thing that comes to mind. And so I was just kind of wondering, when asked, what is the kingdom of God like? I've given you a few minutes to think about it. So I asked myself, what would Jesus use for parables in this day and age? How would Jesus explain to us the parable of something small that spreads and grows? And I was thinking, well, how many of you like professional sports or watch them? Does Washington have any professional teams? Who would they be? Would Jesus use one of those teams to talk about faith that was planted in one of those athletes? And how that faith grew and how that faith was shared with others? Is that a possibility that Jesus could talk kingdom talk using a sports parable? And I was thinking, well, what else in this day and age? Social media. How many of you know about social media or use it? I'm not particularly keen on it myself. Somehow the idea that when I put something out there, it stays there forever is a little frightening to me. Because I've been known to open mouth and insert foot. And, you know, sometimes you can take that out, but when it's in the cloud, how do you ever get that back? I'm not sure. So I'm not sure that that would be the one. So the whole week has been spent, how would Jesus talk to us using everyday parables that we know about? My favorite this past week was gridlock in the automobile. Any of you been in gridlock? What's the longest you've been in gridlock? Hours and hours. It can take more than an hour to get from here past Fort Lewis, can it not? And, you know, I swear on Friday afternoon, it was gridlock from Tacoma to Olympia. At about 4 o'clock, I called my husband, Jim, and I said, honey, I'll be home in 6 hours. And he said, 6 hours? And I said, yes, I'm 60 miles away, and I'm going between 5 and 10 miles an hour. I'm gracing on the part that I might average 10. So isn't that 6 hours? So I was thinking, how would Jesus use gridlock to share the kingdom of God? Do you have any ideas? I was just kind of questioning that. So when you think about how would Jesus share parables of the kingdom using love, hope, grace, because all of those are in the parables that were read this morning. They are about hope. They are about the hope we have in Christ Jesus. They are about the love of Christ, who gave his life that we might be redeemed. They are about God's grace. God's grace for you and for me. You know, Jim and I were here when Pastors Beth and Eric were installed. We loved that worship service. It was so joyful, and the worship space was so full, and it was great. And we noticed that you have a community garden, and I think that's wonderful. How many of you participate in the community garden? That could be eating it, or it could be, eating the fruits of it, or weeding, or planting, or preparing, or watering. How many of you do that? That's marvelous. And then it's shared with others. The gift of love is shared with others in the community. And then this week, as I had an opportunity to talk with Pam, she let me know that you, this congregation, is forming relationships with the school across the street. And I think that's marvelous. And you will need to be full of grace. Because if I know one thing about us Lutherans, it's we don't change easily. Is that right? I was like, oh no, that kid sat on this, or that kid said that. So we have to be full of grace and love. Because some of those children have never been in a church before. They don't know what we know. They don't have the same background that we have. So as parishioners, you will need to just be overflowing with love and grace and hope that a seed from a kind word from one of you is planted in their heart. And they will remember that. I say that because down at the beach, where I used to serve at Ocean Park Lutheran Church, we did a kids program, a lunch buddy program. And the administrators picked some of the children, probably primarily from single-parent homes, who didn't have much attention from adults. And we're paired with an adult, and we would go have lunch with them during their lunch hour and either go to the library and play with them or go out on the field and watch them play. And you know, as they graduated from high school, some of those children were still greeting their lunch buddies from elementary school. You never know what you say, how you act, how you welcome others is going to impact their lives. What a marvelous ministry that is for you and for them. I just know that as you come together, as you potluck, as you share stories, as you work together, you have opportunities to grow and to share God's love. And that's what the parables are about, spreading the good word. As it's also about the kingdom now and in the future. It's what we pray, isn't it, in the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That is kingdom talk. And you are doing kingdom work. How thankful I am for your ministry, each and every one of you. Because it takes all of you. You might not be the one who's here, but you are the one who supports the ministry. You are the one that can share the love. You are the one that can touch someone's life. And isn't that wonderful? I always like to ask, who taught you to pray? Who taught you to pray? Anybody?
My grandmother.
My grandmother, my parents.
Sunday school teachers.
And you are all of those. You are the teachers for the life of the children that you will intermingle with. Praise God. I am just so thankful that you have the opportunity this week, and you could just surprise Pastor Beth or Eric and say, I think the kingdom of heaven is like. So you have a whole week to think up what you think the kingdom of God may be like. And find your own way to tell the story of the love of Christ. In your own way, in your own words. And maybe you do it artistically. I know that behind me, Pastor Dave was gifted with art. And, you know, I'm not above borrowing things. And he did some marvelous banners for Synod Assembly. You might remember some of those. And so I said, do you think we could borrow those down at the beach? And one day the Synod office called and said, do you still have those banners? Oh, I have to give them back. Oh, okay. And I noticed in your bulletin, I thought this was really good. I'm going to borrow this for St. Paul at Winlock, the FBI. I think that is so great. What wonderful ways to encourage people to fellowship, to love, and to share. May you wallow in God's love this week. May you hope for a better world, because we've seen the news and we know that it needs our prayers. And may you practice a random act of kindness by sharing God's grace with someone else. Amen. Amen. Thank you.